Le podcast d'aujourd'hui est fièrement commandité par l'équipe Jordan Lanoux et associé chez IG Gestion de Patrimoine. C'est une équipe de planificateurs financiers super terre à terre, dynamique et passionnée. Disponible et transparent, leur mission est de vous aider à réellement comprendre le monde dans lequel on vit et qu'on n'a pas pris le temps de nous expliquer. Simplement vous aider à atteindre vos objectifs et vulgariser le jargon des finances pour avoir la tranquillité d'esprit. Que vous ayez des questions sur la fiscalité, l'optimisation de vos revenus, placements, les assurances pour votre famille ou votre entreprise, les études de vos enfants, l'achat d'une première ou seconde propriété, s'assureront de vous guider vers les priorités d'une période à l'autre. Nous sommes ravis de collaborer avec cette équipe qui partage notre vision d'un avenir financier sécurisé et prospère et qui nous permet de partager notre passion pour le sport. N'hésitez pas à les contacter pour prendre un temps d'arrêt et discuter de votre futur financier. Bienvenue au podcast Le Temps d'arrêt. Bonjour à tous, bienvenue à l'épisode 102 du Temps d'arrêt. Je suis très heureux de recevoir aujourd'hui Nathaniel Marx pour parler de l'état du hockey au Québec. Nathaniel, ça va bien?
Oui, merci, et vous?
Ça va super bien, très content de t'avoir au podcast. Donc, pour les fans de nos auditeurs, l'épisode d'aujourd'hui se tiendra essentiellement en anglais. Donc, Nathaniel, tu es plus à l'aise pour converser, pour établir un bon dialogue. On va y aller en anglais. Donc, vous excuserez mes erreurs de prononciation pour certains mots. Je vais faire de mon mieux, mais on devrait être capable de s'en tirer avec quelque chose de pas pire. So, Nathaniel, you've been working since you were 17 years old as a power skating coach. So, you've been in the hockey world forever. In the past year, as people are going to see, you have a lot of different function in hockey. So power skating was the first one, and it leads you to work with plenty of several established players from the NHL and some good prospects as well, like Joe Veleno, Chris Letang, Thomas Bordeleau, Marco Scandella, Raphaël Harvey-Pinard, Anthony Beauvillier, Alex Carrier. First of all, about Carrier, how was it to see him being traded to Montreal during the year?
It was very exciting. You know, Alex and I worked together in the past, and you know, to see him to come to his hometown of Montreal. Actually, I sent him a text as soon as he was traded, just to congratulate him. And you know, obviously, being traded is not an easy thing. Even when you're not playing in your hometown and, you know, coming to your hometown, it's still not easy. You got to pick up your life and pack that up and, you know, transfer to a new team. Luckily for him, it's his hometown. So, you know, it was pretty awesome to see that. And, you know, speaking with him a little bit over text, he seemed very excited for himself. And, you know, it's very exciting for his family for sure.
So from your perspective and as a ability coach, pet specialist, what is your what is the difference in your approach when you work with an established player, let's say like Carrier, and a guy knocking at the door at the NHL, let's say Raphaël Harvey-Pinard or even Thomas Bordeleau, who's not made it yet but is very close? So how do you change the work that you have been doing with them?
You know what, it's very individualized per player, right? So there's not a huge difference when you're talking about skill. A lot of it is, you know, you're playing in the NHL, it's a lot faster. You got, you know, players, you don't have a lot of time to make decisions. You know, a lot of the game is played along the boards, along the wall. So I think those things, you know, bringing those things to, you know, prospects and helping them generate more speed in certain areas, helping them think a little bit quicker. You know, a lot of it is as well as communication, right? It's asking a player, what is it that you feel you need to work on? And, you know, things might change through the course of the training of the summer, but, you know, a lot of it's just trying to bring them up to speed within their abilities.
Okay.
As fast as possible to make that transition to the next level.
That's awesome. It must be pretty nice to work with such accomplished athletes, and to see the guy that you've been working with for a couple of years made it to the NHL must be a nice feeling too.
Definitely. Yeah, it's very rewarding personally for myself, but you know, obviously for the athletes and their families, that's huge. It's massive.
For the past year, you've been working, as people might see on YouTube, with the Voltigeurs de Drummondville in the LHGMQ as an ability coach. So here's what Et je vois the Drummondville coach, Sylvain Favreau, is an outstanding coach. I have to say about you. It's going to be in French. I got the comments from a French website. So here it goes.
Sure.
So, il est le candidat idéal pour enseigner et faire progresser la nouvelle génération de joueurs de hockey qui font partie de notre organisation. Il a à cœur le développement des habiletés et le suivi des joueurs qu'il entraîne. Sa plus grande force est de mettre en application les habiletés individuelles en situation de match, chose qui aidera grandement les joueurs à progresser. So, it must be pretty nice comments to hear about such like great hockey mind that mm-hmm. is Sylvain Favreau. So,
yes.
First of all, how do you like it to have a job working closely with the team of the LHGMQ?
You know what? I love it. It's been such a great opportunity for me to jump in with this team this year. Specifically, you know, obviously they won the championship last year. So, as you mentioned, Sylvain Favreau, what a person to learn from. You know, although I'm there helping the team and I'm helping the young kids there, develop and try to hit those next steps, whether they're coming in as a 16, 17 year old or whether they're a 20 moving into the pro ranks. I'm still myself learning a lot as well from the coaching staff. Sylvain has been since day one when I walked in the door. I felt very comfortable with the team. He's given me a lot of rope to run with to help the kids, the team. We chat before every practice to see what it is exactly we'd like to work on, and then he lets me have it. And we have our assistant coach. Julien out there as well, forward coach. So we work in tandem, we work together. So it's a team effort, obviously, and to be part of the organization and to be a small part of the development within the team has been awesome.
For people who are not really familiar with, let's say, an ability coach, could we see first of all that you're kind of the Adam Nicklaus of the ABS, which is a specialist in ability? And what do you do, like not in a daily basis, because I don't think you follow the team like everywhere that goes, but to help the team growth? And so how were you able during the year to help the players' development? And how was it to, like you said, Drummondville just won the championship in the LHGMQ. How was it to join a team, even though like plenty of player change, you know, in the queue, in junior hockey, it's like cycles. Some people go, some team goes, and then some teams have a couple of season where they drafted players and they regroup, they rebuild something. So how was it to join a team that was on top?
Well, I think for me personally, I'm the type of person that's not going to walk into a room and take control and say, you know, this is my ship. I think what I did was I wanted to be around the team as much as possible. Although I'm there typically once a week to skate with the team, but I will go in two or three times a week. Whether if we have home games, I'll be there for home games. And I thought it was really important for me to embed myself within the team, to get to know the players, to get to know the coaching staff, because as a development coach, it's very hard to just walk in and walk out once a week. Okay, we'll see you next week, and no follow-up, right? So I'll go in and I'll skate with the boys, and then what will happen is I'll come home and I'll do video, and I'll send video to the players, and we'll communicate that way. And then I can get to see, you know, how they're playing, get to see their tendencies and be able to help them at practice. So we'll have a practice. We'll practice for 40, 45 minutes. And then after the practice, a lot of players will come to me and ask me for some extra help. So we'll work one-on-one after that on specific skills with them. But I think, you know, to answer your question again, you know, coming in as the new guy, it was to find my place and be there to help as much as I can and learn as much as I can to be able to help on the back end.
So bring us to speed on what brought you to Drummondville. So it was quite of a unique situation, let's say. So the team just won a championship, and at what part of the off season were you hired? And were you aware, you were probably aware because everyone was aware, that Sylvain Favreau was at some point during the summer, he was interviewing to have a job with the Montreal Canadiens organization, and he was very, very close to have a job with the Rocket Laval. So mm-hmm. how was it to being like might have been just hired by his coaching staff and you could have seen him go? So how was the feeling during the summer and all that?
It was great. You know, like what happened was Sylvain was asked to go as a guest coach in Nashville. Actually, there's quite a big tie here because I did some work in Nashville with our Perfect Skating team back in 2014 at development camp. And then we ran some skates before the season started as well. Yeah. So it was kind of a unique situation. He was invited to go to Nashville. One of my good friends, Sebastian Bordelot, he is actually Thomas's father. He is the skills coach in Nashville. Sylvain and Sebastian know each other. Okay. And Sylvain had asked Sebastian if he knew anybody that could come in and help the Voltigeur over this season. And so Sebastian gave him my number and Sylvain reached out to me to ask me if I'd be interested to come in and work during the season. This was over the summer. So we had a few conversations and obviously I knew there were some, you know, talks about him maybe moving on to Montreal organization, whether it would be in Laval or with the big club. But fortunate for me, he stuck around in Drummond, and I say that just because I've learned so much from him, and respect him a ton. So, you know, he's gonna be very close to moving on to pro at some point here soon. I have no doubt. He's such a great hockey mind. So I have no doubt that he'll be moving on here shortly.
So for people to know a bit more about the backstory here, we know each other by view, you know. Mm-hmm. Your daughter is dancing at my girlfriend in the dance studio. So
yes,
back in February, on the Facebook page of Hockey Quebec, I saw there was a couple of nomination for new position in Hockey Quebec, and then I recognized you. I was like, wow, that's awesome. This is Nathaniel from the studio. So. Mm-hmm. You were named by Hockey Quebec, Hockey Development Advisor for the Metropolitan District, which include Lac-Saint-Louis, Montreal, and Laval. How did you end up receiving that position with Hockey Quebec?
I've done some work for Hockey Quebec in the past. So a couple of years ago, I did a video series for them on skating technique. This past summer they reached out to me and said there was going to be this position available if I would be interested in you know hearing about it, and I said absolutely, for sure. So we had a couple of interviews over the late actually it was no it was it was sorry it was in the fall. They reached out in the fall just before Christmas time. Actually, they reached out, so we spoke a few times before Christmas. They finalized everything after Christmas, and now, like you've mentioned, there's four of us for the for Quebec that have been hired, and each of one of us has a specific territory that we're going to be helping.
Yeah. So about that, like you said, three others were named. So Mathieu mm-hmm. Chouinard in the Centre District, who's an ex hockey player who briefly played mm-hmm. in the NHL and who mm-hmm. currently work as an analyst for TVA Sports. Mm-hmm. Pierre-Cédric Labrie, who's is in District East, mm-hmm. pro hockey player who played a couple of years in the NHL, and Frédéric Roy from mm-hmm. District West, who's Patrick Roy's son,
yes.
Briefly played in the NHL before receiving and completing his major in law. So it's a nice list to be a part with. What are your personally, for you, and probably for the whole group, what are your tasks and roles that come with this new position?
So, in a nutshell, just to help, really, I think what Hockey Quebec is trying to do is they're trying to get more involved with the associations that need help. What we're going to be focusing a lot on is the single letter M11, M13 groups right now. And what we'll be doing is we're currently putting up a plan together, a development plan, to be able to distribute to the coaches at these levels. And then what we will be doing is we're actually going to be going into interventions on the ice throughout next season. So again, through the M11 and 13 single letters, we'll be doing some double letter stuff as well. But basically what it'll be is to go in and be there for the coaches to help them learn how to coach in certain ways, you know, provide them with some tips and some tricks that we can provide them with to help them, you know, better improve, you know, the players at those levels. And it's not to say that they don't do a good job. They do a great job, but a lot of it is, you know, these coaches are parents. They work full time. Yeah. They don't have time to come up with practice plans, and, you know, they're rushing from work to go home, to pick up the kids, to have dinner. So we're really going to be there as a support staff to help in any way we can.
So you'll be a great reference for them. And personally, what will be your own goals and what you want to achieve in that position? And is it like a contract that you signed for like a year or so? So how is it? Is it like a long-term thing? How's it going? How's it working?
So yeah, so it's a contract that we've started with. So we'll be working until June of 2026. So primarily all of the on-ice stuff will be as of September in 2025 in the fall. And then what might happen is if things go well and Hockey Quebec is happy with the process, they may turn this into a full-time opportunity. Yeah. So for right now, it's contract that we've been hired for.
As people can see, so you got a great background there in hockey play, like working with minor association, working with what is very close to the NHL in the LHGMQ, working closely with current players. So you are definitely well placed to talk about everything that is going on with the Hockey Quebec right now. In the past year, there's so much stuff that has happened, like not only negatively, there's a lot of positive as well. So there's so much I want to talk to you about. We could talk for hours about Hockey Quebec and the development stuff, but some stuff that for me is very like important to talk about. So before you're talking about like the professional aspect of Hockey Quebec, so let's dig in some stories that happened like in the recently. So let's say parents fighting in the stands, so like players and parents confronting verbally and physically refs, extreme violence on and off the ice. So according to you, how right now is the state of minor hockey in Quebec?
I think it needs a lot of improvement, to be honest with you. I think everybody just needs to take a deep breath and understand that it's just a game, you know, and it's very easy for me to say that. I know people get worked up, not only in hockey, it happens in other sports as well. But, you know, obviously because we live in Quebec and we live in Canada, the hockey is our sport and we hear about this more and more. But I think what really needs to happen is understand this is for the kids. It's not for parents. Yeah. It's not for coaches per se. Yes, coaches are involved, but this is for the kids. What we should be doing as a society in Quebec is helping these kids develop and helping them have fun. I think where we get lost a lot too is even at the single letter levels in A, B, and C, the push is it's to win. Everybody wants to win, and that's all it's about. And what people don't understand is there's only one performance league in the world, and that's the National Hockey League. Yeah. That's it. That's the only performance league in the world. Every other league that you're playing in, whether it's the AHL, the East Coast League, junior, down into minor hockey, you're supposed to be developing. You're working on developing to become a better hockey player to hopefully one day play in the National Hockey League. So everybody just needs to take a deep breath. And try to work as one, you know.
What you just said is so important, that it's a game. It's supposed to be fun. And about that, Hockey Quebec was under a lot of heat recently. So people don't know the story that happened a few weeks ago. So there was a young player from Saint-Jérôme who played in the M18. So by the age of 16, 17, if he's in that level, he's not going to play in the NHL. So there's no future on that. That's for sure. So he ended up hitting the head of another player who didn't have his helmet because it was off the ice. with his stick. So the same player hit another one a couple prior to the incidents, a few weeks back, with another player's helmet with his own skate. So on that team, the same Saint-Jérôme team, there was 8 players that were suspended for a total of 37 games. What ended up happening is that a lot of kids that were playing against this team don't want to play hockey anymore. Mm-hmm. So this type of behavior was not hockey. It's going to prevent others from playing. So right. and Hockey Quebec was in a bit of trouble because they weren't even if they received letters from other coach from this from the league, they didn't then suspend the kid for a longer period, and he ended up doing something like that. So how do we prevent something like this to not happen again to banish? We don't want to see something like that in hockey. How can we prevent something like that? It's probably very, very difficult to answer, but
that's a difficult question. Yeah, I think, you know, because obviously every young person is different. And I think what we have to realize too is there's a lot that goes on outside of hockey, a lot that goes on at home. There's a lot that goes on at school. There's a lot that goes on in social life. You know, social media is massively looked at by all kids. And I think there's been lots of research within this that it's not good for you, social media. Like there should be breaks. There should be times where you can go on for a little bit and times that you can't. So I think, you know, I don't think it's the game of hockey that the problem is. I think it's on the outside of hockey, and then it's brought into, because you also have to think about this too. You're playing hockey. It's a competitive sport. If you go to school and somebody says something to you that's not very nice, you're going to become in a bad mood. You go play hockey that night, you're still in a bad mood. What are you going to do? You're going to take your temper out on somebody else, right?
Something stupid that you're
grabbing. That's right. And some kids can handle it. Some kids don't handle it as well. And that's where we start to see these types of outbursts. Now, obviously, there's no excuse whatsoever for that type of behavior. But I think a lot of it is always wrapped around the game of hockey, and it shouldn't be, because it's not necessarily the game that's the problem. It's not necessarily the dressing room that's the problem. It's on the outside, and it's brought in to the game of hockey.
In 2022, Jocelyn Thibault, who's a very, very influential name in hockey in this province, was named president of Hockey Quebec. So big nomination. I thought it was outstanding to have someone of his credibility, being an important part of LHGMQ, having a nice career in the NHL. 2 years later, he ended up giving his resignation to the board. Mm-hmm. He felt he couldn't achieve what he wanted to do, and he faced a few organizations who wanted to handle things their own way. So mm-hmm. not to name them, Lac Saint-Louis was one of them that mm-hmm. was mentioned. Yep. So when you receive the nomination as Hockey Quebec, is it something that you fear for your new role to be facing closed doors when you want to help some organization? And it sucks to say, because it's from where you and I are from, but
yes.
Organization like Lac Saint-Louis, maybe they don't want to improve the way they should be. They don't want to push the same way that Hockey Quebec will, because it's a big organization. Yeah. So sometimes it might be difficult to have an outsider. And I'm not talking about you. I'm talking a bit more about what happened with Jocelyn Thibault. So yeah. how is it something that you had in mind before accepting the role?
I mean, of course, but at the end of the day, I've been doing this for 30 years now, and I've seen a lot. I've witnessed a lot. I've been through a lot. It's just part of the game, you know. It's and I mean part of the game meaning it's just part of the business, right? Personally, from being a little bit on the inside now of Hockey Quebec, I do think that they are trying to change things. I think they're trying to revamp. I think they're trying to do more to help to approach the associations, and you know, we want to help. It's not to come in and take over. And I think a lot of the problem with hockey. And a lot of the problem with the hockey in the Lac Saint-Louis region, it's egos, and people have to get over themselves, to put it bluntly. Don't go work with that coach, come work with me, that type of style. It does nothing but harm the kids at the end of the day. And I think that's a major problem with what we're facing in regards to the development of our athletes. And you can see that on the international stage. I mean, it's coming to a point where, other countries are catching up, they're passing us. And a lot of it is because of the ego, and it's just, that it's about the coach, or it's about the association, and it's not, you're not going to work my way, you're going to work this way. And that's
It's
a
not
major
helping
problem.
the improvement and the
That
development.
that's right. That's right. It's only hindering the development of our kids. It really is.
Something that we hear more and more that might take a more important place in the upcoming future is school hockey. So we start seeing a little bit more movement towards this way. I wanted to know your opinion about the future of school hockey versus playing for your municipality. Could we start using a bit more the model that is working so well in the United States, and so to have like prep schools, and then to have like obviously college and stuff, not to translate what they're doing out there, but could we see more important, like important wise, could something happen for school hockey in the upcoming years, according to you?
That's a tough one. I mean, it kind of is back and forth a little bit in regards to this city and to school. I think, I think it's unique to every family, to be honest with you, in regards to what their schedules are like. A lot of families have more than one child. They have two, three kids. I have a daughter who dances. They have a son who plays hockey. They have another son who plays tennis. So, with school hockey, the big attraction, I think, for a lot of families when it comes to school hockey is the schedule. They go to school, they practice and play during the week, they have the weekend off, I think that's really attractive to a lot of families, right?
And sometime at like 5:30, they've done school, they've played their game, and they can go home and focus on the family wise and on themselves and on school as well.
That's right, exactly. And I think there seems to be more momentum, or there has been more momentum over the last little bit in regards to a lot of families wanting to move to the school side. And I think a lot of it has to do with those reasons. But at the end of the day, I think you have to look at the pros and the cons, right? Some schools may have a better, easier schedule, but if you're looking at a development model, maybe the development is not as good as maybe it is on the city side, right? Or on the association side, right? So I think there's pros and cons to either side. I played back in the day. I played both for my school and for the city. A lot of schools won't let you do that anymore. You have to play for the school only.
Yeah,
You can't play for the city.
that's not helping as well, putting
That's the
some
thing.
barriers in the
Exactly. That's exactly right. And putting barriers to young athletes where they should be able to expand and try things and try to figure out where they want to go. Like, I think a lot of parents ask me, "Well, what do you think I should do with my son?" It's not, don't ask me. Ask your son. What do you want to do? Like, do you even like hockey? Do you want to play hockey? Where do you want to play? Would you rather go to school? Sit down as a family and discuss like I said, the pros and cons of one side or the other side, and I think I don't think we give our kids enough credit in regards to allowing them to make decisions for themselves.
That's a great
We're always we're always, this is what you're going to do, and this is why you're going to do it, and you've got no choice. Well, that's
We
great.
need to open up the dialogue on not only with the kids, but between the two part association.
That's
We
right.
need to work more and more together. So just to
That's
help the
right.
growth of hockey in Quebec, everyone needs, like you said before, everyone needs to hold hands a little more and just work
Yeah.
together.
Exactly right. Yeah. So I don't know. Like, that's a good question in regards to the momentum on the school side. It's definitely, over the past few years, it's definitely taken off, and there seems to be more and more school opportunities and programs out there. Some are very good, some are just starting. So yeah, I think at the end of the day, it really comes down to the, what you want to do as a family.
Let's go to the to the professional side of hockey players from Quebec. So mm-hmm. this year in the in 24-25, the number of players from here who played in the NHL, so who've been part of 20 games or more, is 35 this year. So 22 forwards, 11 defensemen, and only two goalie, including one who is retiring, Marc-André Fleury, at the end of the, at the end of the year. So I'm going to throw a few numbers at you, okay? So in Quebec, we have 35 players for about 9 million people living here. In Alberta, they got 40 for about 5 million. In BC, they got 31 players this year for about 6 million. Saskatchewan, 17 players for 1,250,000. Manitoba, 21 players for 1,050,000 people. And in Ontario, the biggest quantity of players in the NHL, 135 players for a big chunk of the population, 16 million. So where I want to go with all those stats is Quebec has the worst average of player in the NHL by resident. The province was once before the best source of NHL goalies. My question to you that's been part of the hockey for so long, like, as you said, what happened to the era that was so important that hockey players from here was so important, especially for goaltender? What has happened in the past few decades?
I think we haven't developed our hockey development plan, long-term development plan, well enough. I don't think we've changed with the times. I think that the development plan in all of Canada, not just in Quebec, hasn't changed for many, many years.
Okay.
Other countries are developing their plan. They're adapting to the change of hockey, and their kids are also following that trend. So I think a lot of it's got to do with being able to restructure the development of our young athletes. I think that over the past few years, 10-20 years, there's been a major focus on individual development, not team development, a lot of individual skills. Like I see this, obviously working with young athletes every single day, right up through the bantam midget. And I can even say, some of our athletes in Drummondville can't even pass puck. That's a huge problem. So you go down to the novice levels and, coaches go on YouTube. They look at a cool drill. They put that drill on the ice for novice players when they don't even know what the back end of the drill is. They don't know what the drill was about. It just looks good. The parents are going to think it's a great drill because it looks great, right? But a lot of system plays at the novice level when they don't even know how to skate properly. Like how are you going to structure a breakout when a kid can't pass a puck or skate with a puck? You know what I'm trying to say? So
definitely.
I think it really comes down to that. It really comes down to being able to help our young athletes develop at a young age properly, skating, the basic skills, skating, passing, shooting. I won't speak for the goalies because I'm not a goalie coach, but I think it would fall into the same kind of bracket. Everybody wants the big picture right away. They don't want to work for it anymore. There's nobody wants to work for anything. You look at this as an example. You look at an Adam or a novice team go to a tournament, they win a tournament, they get a ring. I mean, get a ring. You play in the National Hockey League, okay, you get a ring. You play major junior, okay, you get a ring. You've worked your way up. You know what I'm trying to say?
But yeah, definitely.
I think that's in Europe, the way that they develop their athletes in Europe, because I do a lot of work in Europe too over the summer. I've done work in Sweden, I've done work in Italy, I've done work in the Netherlands as well. They don't recruit kids from outside. They have their pro team at the top. They have their young athletes at the bottom, their novice level athletes. Each level has a specific coach. Obviously the coaches will change, but those kids go from the bottom through all the way to hopefully make it to their pro team. They don't change and go and play for Pierrefonds and go and change and play for Laval the next year oh, I didn't make the lines this year. Okay, I'm going to go play over there and, you know, get to know or wherever it might be. They really structure their development really well. And those kids follow that plan all the way up to the pro level. They know their coaches, they know their teammates, they know the systems, because this has been with their ingrained in them since they were a young child. It's not like that here in Quebec.
Do you think, I might be out of bounds too, but do you think that we were lacking a bit of the expertise that we could have used in the past years? So here's where I'm going with this. So we can see like a lot of different great hockey players from Quebec from past decades who ended up spending their retirement in US, being involved in hockey. We can think of many, many players who made their own where they had their career in the US and being involved in developing what happened there. Very few people that are playing here that are not from here are going to stay here. Tax wise, a lot of reason why, many reasons, but players, NHL players that have been here for their retirement and wanted to get involved, even though they had great career and they got so much respect and credibility, sometimes they faced a door closed because they wanted to help, let's say, on their grandchild practice or somewhere in the municipality. And some coach, like you said, that ego thing, they didn't want their help, even though they could help so much. So do you think in the pack, and there's different players. We heard Gilbert Delorme said it a few times. Maxime Lapierre said the same thing. Steve Bégin recently said the same thing, that they wanted to get involved but couldn't. So do you think that's part of the problem, to not 100%. Being able to use the quality that we have in our own end?
100%, I do. Yeah, and again, it comes down to people. Eventually, people just don't want to deal with it anymore, and they just move on to do other things, right?
Yeah.
You know, I think you know, a lot of people think what we do as coaches is easy. It's not easy. Trust me, it's not an easy job. It's not, and I don't want to say job because I don't consider it a job. I'm very lucky to be able to do what I'm doing. But there's so much that you have to deal with every single day to have the mindset where it comes back to getting rid of the noise and focusing on the kids. That's the major thing, is just getting rid of the noise. Yeah. And, you know, like, you know, over my years, I've seen, you know, people come and go. I've seen, you know, all of a sudden I want to become a development coach. Okay, so now I'm just going to buy a pair of skates, I'm going to go hockey stick, and I'm a development coach. I'm going to go to the local rink. I'm going to, you know, go on Instagram. I'm going to put all these crazy drills on, and I'm going to be a skill coach. And then in 3 months, you don't see them anymore. They're gone. They're finished. They don't do it anymore. Right. So a lot of it is just people don't want to deal with the noise. They don't want to deal with parents. They don't want to deal with associations. They don't want to deal with
which are the artist part of the job.
That's right. You know, and then they move on, and they move to the United States, and they go work somewhere like California, nice weather, no snow, you know, they or Florida, whatever. They just move on to other places, and those people and those kids, you know, they benefit from that, you know. So there's a lot that goes into it, but there's definitely, we've definitely lost out on a lot of good people that could be here to help in Quebec for sure. Yeah.
Might have shown in the past draft from the past couple of years, there's quite a diminution of Quebecois getting drafted in the NHL. So let's dig in a bit year by year. Like last year in 2024, only 9 players that are from Quebec playing in the LHGMQ got drafted, and the first one was at the 59 rank. It was Justin Gill, I think. Mm-hmm. One of the Gill, and we can add Sacha Boisvert, who was a first rounder, but he's been playing in the US.
In 2023, six Québécois got drafted, none in the first round. In 2022, a little bit more, 11 got drafted. So it was a good year, like Nathan Gaucher, Lamoureux in the first round, Luneau in the second. 2021, 15 drafted, including Bolduc, Bourgault, Lheureux in the first round. 2020, 13 were drafted. Good year as well. Lafrenière, first overall. Hendrix Lapierre, 22nd. Maverick Bourque, 38th rank, all in the first round. Mercer, too, is not from Quebec, but he played in the Q as well. Mm-hmm. So for you, is it a sign of the low quantity of hockey player in the NHL that we've seen before and the number we've seen before? So is it like in the word in French is in a tangent, the way things are going, or sometime it might just be bad cycle for LHGMQ, bad years. And those numbers are shown, even though let's not get too much into that, but let's say when we look at Hockey Canada, or we could look at Hockey Canada Junior Championship, a different type of tournament. Very, very few players from Quebec. So for you, so is it just a bad few years? Do you think it's going to go back? So what is your take on that?
I really believe it comes back down to the development. I really believe that. And not just hockey development. I think also expressing to kids on the how great it is to play hockey. You know, and how much fun it is to play hockey, and how much hockey can provide you with, even you know, playing in as amateur hockey players, you know, novice, Adam, Peewee, Bantam, you know, like those players are going to be able to go to tournaments. They're going to be able to, you know, make new friendships, travel a little bit. Again, it really comes down to always focusing on the big picture and developing and making it to the NHL and all that kind of stuff, which is a huge part of it. But I think, you know, bringing people in and having them understand what the benefits are of playing hockey will go a long way. And then once you get those kids interested in the game, then you can start to develop and process and help them develop into higher levels of playing hockey. And hopefully those numbers would increase, you know, whether it be into the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League or to the NHL or wherever it might be. But it really has to start at the grassroots, at the young level. And I think that we're not doing a good enough job doing that right now. And that's why we've seen, because, you know, you have kids that play, they love it. Then their parents or whoever it might be pushing them too hard. They get to high school, they lose interest and they drop off. There's no more hockey. So there's one player that, you know, just an example that's gone away now that could have had potential to move on to the higher levels and maybe get drafted or whatnot. So it's society as a whole, I think, is a big issue.
It's important to find those diamond and polish them and being able to keep them where they're gonna establish themselves, and they're gonna have fun, but second of all,
that's right,
being able to develop themselves into great athletes. And like you said, I think it's starting young. The way you mentioned your role in Hockey Quebec, I think we can see a parallel there. So Hockey Quebec have been doing some good things lately. It was about time that they woke up a bit, but I think they're doing some steps into the right direction. And like you said, I think in the upcoming years we're going to see more and more. This year is going to be a great year for the Q. At least three players will most likely go in the first round: Noyer, Carbonneau, and Zonon. Zachary Morin, Mateo Norbach would easily be second rounder. It's a good year for goalie as well. So in the past, in the second prospect list by the NHL Recruiting Central, four of the 10 goalie from North America are from Quebec. So Beckman, Deneau, and Daigle.
Perfect.
So, So that you can, that you probably know very closely, that you've seen them doing some great thing against your team.
Yeah. Well, Zonin, I know Zonin and I worked together for many years. I know Bill quite well. He's a great kid. He'll do well.
So it's a great year. So let's embrace that. And let's be hopeful that great nomination like yours will simply help Hockey Quebec growth in the coming years.
Yeah, that's right. I think they're heading in the right direction in regards to their vision. You know, I think, like I said earlier, you know, they've seemed to want to revamp some things and change some things for the better, and hopefully, you know, we can have some people embrace that and have an open mind and be able to, you know, allow for more help, you know, allow for collaborations, allow for coaches to work together.
The last thing I wanted to talk to you about is you definitely know about what is for the future for young hockey players in Quebec, because in the past let's say 5 to 7 years, there's been more and more popularity about kids from here transferring to United States to play in the USHL and then playing college out there. So skipping their major junior out here and going straight up to the US. There's probably a lot of reason under those decision. But from now, there's been a change between the partnership between the NCAA in the United States and major junior hockey in Quebec with the CHL. So that allows player to transfer into going to one league into another. So how do you think this rule change will affect the future of hockey? Of hockey in Quebec, and do you think players will stay longer here instead of going in the US at a young age?
I think it gives a lot more option, obviously, right, for these families. You know, the big question that I've been faced with a lot too, with, you know, younger players at 15 years old that have the opportunity to either go to school or play in the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League, as an example, here in Quebec. A lot of it is that question is it's pulling, like, what should we do? Should, you know, again, it comes down to unless you're like a Sidney Crosby or a Wayne Gretzky, or, you know that you're going to play in the Q and you're going to make it from the Q to the NHL right away.
Straight from 18-year-old.
That's right. That's right. That's obviously the faster way to go, right?
Yeah.
But a lot of players aren't like that, and they need more time to develop, and they want their school. They want to get a degree. You know, if you play NCAA, you can play till you're 24, 25 years old. So you're not finished at 20 in the queue. And then what are you going to do? You're going to go play for the CIS, or you're going to go, you know, what are you going to do? So I think with the merge now and being able to go from major junior to NCAA or vice versa, it's going to provide families a lot more ease. It's going to provide them with, you know, an easier time to make a decision. And you can play in the queue for a year if it's no good, head to the United States or vice versa, right? So again, the options are going to be a lot more easy for families to deal with, and I think that it will only help both sides.
Yeah, and I think it's going to help kids from Quebec who are playing in the queue, because teams in the past year have been more and more open about drafting. Let's say you got two kids that are equal talent, equal physique characteristic. They're going to draft the kid from the United States because they got a longer time to sign those players. Mm-hmm. So now that with the new collective convention, I don't know if that's proper.
Yeah. No, you're good. Yeah, you're good. You're good.
English. Ending it in 2026, this is something major that they have to look on to make it more equal, because we can see, like, let's say right now there's some players that are transferring from the CHL. We can say, for example, Caden Lindstrom, who's going to play at Michigan State. Mm-hmm. So he started his junior career in the Canada, transferring from the US. What's going on with kids like like them? How long do you have to assign them? So there's a, in French, it's called zone grise. So there's a part which is like, we have to solve this. And once it's solved, I think it's going to give a better chance from kids from here to be drafted, because that is the first and important step, is to be drafted. And then after that, the work is starting. And then we can going to kept going and kept rolling.
That's right. You know, you look at an example, you know, some of our guys in Drummond are 20-year-olds. Now they're going to go head over and play in NCAA after they're done playing junior. Right? So they're going to have that opportunity to continue to develop, to continue to do their schoolwork, to get a degree, you know, and then hopefully get picked up by a team, you know. That's great for them, to allow them to, you know, so you got to think about it this way too. A lot of players, they develop a little bit later, right? Just because you're not drafted at 18 years old or 19 years old, it doesn't mean that's the end of your career. You know, some players, they hit, you know, 20, 21 years old, they get more mature, they get stronger, you know, they understand the game a little bit better. They've played junior for 4 years or wherever it might be. Now they're starting to hit their stride. And now teams are starting to look, hey, you know, like, This is a good player that we could maybe look at and bring him in to as an undrafted player. You know,
the best example is that we see every year, we see fourth years, people who are finishing their college career, who are undrafted and who are going to sign with the pro team, either to have a two-way AHL and NHL, or simply in the NHL. But we see them every year. So that's going to give them a chance, a good chance for kids from here, like you said, to transfer to the United States, give them 2-3 years to develop the proper way that they could need, and then have a shot in the NHL. So this is just awesome that finally, so this is what we were talking about. Finally, it was ridiculous that the two
yes, it was
organization that is so important in hockey, we're completely aside. Now they're working more and more together. This is awesome, and this is what all Canada need to do to improve. So this is a really good win there in the right direction.
Yeah, and hopefully, you know, this will trickle down, and a lot of people will start to realize that, you know, collaboration is important, and being able to work together is important to help our kids develop.
So Nathaniel, that was so nice to. Yeah, I wanted to do this episode for a long time. Waited for the right time, and you know, people in Quebec, they're so passionate about hockey. So it's such an important topic to really dig in, and no better person than you to do that exercises with, because you got your pedigree, your background is simply amazing. And it was such an honor to have you at Le Temps d'Arrêt.
Well, I really appreciate the opportunity to speak to you, and you know, it was a lot of fun. And
definitely.
Yeah, I was really looking forward to this when you reached out. I was really looking forward to being able to jump on to your show. It's been great. Thank you.
I appreciate it, and best of luck to your team, Drummondville, in this playoffs. If there's a team who can pull a comeback, it's definitely them. So best of luck on that, and mostly best of luck with your new position at Hockey Quebec. I'm sure that you'll do great. And if you want, we can talk about it in a year to see what happened and when the improvement and stuff. That would be very, very lovely from my perspective.
Absolutely. I'd always be anxious to come back and speak to you, for sure. So anytime.
Thank you, Nathaniel, and I appreciate it a lot. Alors, j'espère que vous avez vraiment apprécié les propos de Nathaniel. Vraiment, vraiment, on est très, très chanceux d'avoir eu son expertise au podcast. Alors, merci à tous d'avoir été présents, et on se dit à un prochain épisode du Temps d'Arrêt.